Buzz! 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 Buzz!
We're here. It's February 18th, and Colorado has successfully survived a little less than a week's worth of hours without a head coach.
Kind of survived. We've lost one.
Well, in that same vein, I guess we've technically gained one with interim head coach. Either way, this is At the Buzzer, your Colorado podcast, trying to guide you through this next crucial week of CU Athletics. And I said CU Athletics because it's not just football. I'm Jack Barsh, one of your co-hosts, and the other one over there is Sam Etivier.
Hello.
Sam, how's the mood in Boulder?
Well, I'm not really on campus ever, so I can't really say about that. I can't really say much for the general mood because everybody I see is just so happy to be getting coffee from me because that's all I've been doing is working, so.
Okay, well, I guess you bring people joy, so you're a little less, you're not a reliable witness.
Yeah, my uncle is pissed. He's a big CU fan. Shout out to Uncle Steve.
Shout out to Uncle Steve. Hey, everyone, just give a quick shout out to Uncle Steve. Everyone's got to love him. You know, in case you've been living under a very large rock and the only place to give CU Athletic news is this podcast, but you only start listening to this podcast, this episode, here's the update. Mel Tucker has left the Colorado Buffaloes. He's gone to his mistress up north, Michigan State, and in his wake, he's leaving quite a mess.
What is that mess exactly?
Well, as of this week, CU lost their offensive line coach also to Michigan State. Their offensive coordinator also to Michigan State. Thankfully, no recruits have jumped ship yet, but I'm assuming at least some are imminent.
Names, by the way, Jay Johnson was the offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. And Chris Kapilovich is the offensive line coach. And we're really going to miss Kapilovich, which we can talk about later.
Yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit later.
Okay.
And as bad as Michigan State's situation was, looking for a head coach as late as they did, well, guess what? CU's is even later. So, you know, there's a lot of rumors flying around about where the athletic director is going to interview, who they're interviewing.
Lots of uninspiring names that I'm really upset that I have to be reading about.
Oh, yeah. And we can also get to those in a second. Mainly, I just wanted to say that the thing to take away from this week is Rick George and Lance Carl, keep a tight ship. There's not going to be any official leaks or information coming out until we're near the home stretch.
I mean, I remember when the McIntyre news got leaked last year. There was like a whole like fire drill going on at the athletic department as someone leaked it and they were really pissed.
Yep.
They hate that. They hate when stuff gets leaked.
And Mel Tucker.
That news got leaked on the Georgia side.
Yes. And that also was very late into the process. It's not like we knew that even that they interviewed Mel Tucker until basically the SEC championship game.
I mean, it was the day after I wrote about Mel Tucker as a dark horse contender. So. You know?
So we're just geniuses, is what you're saying.
Personally, I am. I don't know about you, but yes. So luckily, I'm just really happy that all the recruits have kind of rallied around CU. They've like said, like, it's not just the coach we committed to, it's the program, it's the city, it's to each other. And so I'm really happy with that. It seems like they're quite bonded for not really knowing each other, I assume. And then, of course, the Darren Chivarini being promoted to interim head coach. That's a huge, huge deal for recruiting.
Yeah, he is obviously the emotional leader of this coaching staff and the Colorado program. And while he may not get the head job, he might he's interviewing for it.
Yeah, he's one of the top contenders we've heard.
He is presumably one of the one of the few candidates they're going to interview. I guess it's a nice segue to some of the other ones that we know are being interviewed. Sam, I want instant reactions, literally instant reactions to the names I'm throwing out in front of you. So some of the ones that we can confirm If you want the most up-to-date information, please go subscribe to Adam Munster Tiger at 247 Sports. He is doing God's work.
He always does. He's the best in CU media.
Yeah. He is a complete professional.
Yeah. A really nice guy.
You know, on that vein, we have a few public information. Let's just say who we know at least got a contact from the CFA department. Eric Bieniemy.
Okay. I mean, like, that's not going to happen. We've already talked about this.
Okay. Darren Shiverini.
I have questions about Shiverini. Is that I really want there to be an emotional leader who can, like, really focus on recruiting and just kind of be the heart and soul of a program and have his coordinators do the football strategy stuff. But it's really late to go get those coordinators. I don't know if Shiverini would take a back seat to it. And, like, this experiment didn't necessarily work with John Embry, so.
Yeah, the other thing to keep in mind there is he does not necessarily have a lot of connections with staff outside of his current Colorado staff. So it's not like he can pull some strings.
And I mean, like, he has connections to Graham Harrell, but Graham Harrell's the offensive coordinator at USC. So he's not going to leave for anything other than a head coaching job.
Yes, exactly. And one of the other confirmed names, Brett Bielema.
I really don't want that big boy, that big sweaty hog man.
Oh, man. You're,
Also, I would only refer to him as Bert Bielema. He's more of a Bert than a Bart. Than a Brett, sorry.
I was talking with my friend last night, and I said, I'm going to say the same thing to you I said to him. If I would honestly root for Brett Bielema to get the job over some of the other names that have been mentioned, like, for instance, Jim McElwain.
No. Don't just stop with McElwain. Please God, we cannot have Jim McElwain as the Colorado head football coach. I'm going to stop watching football.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If that happens. I can't.
So what I was telling my friend is I would much rather have Brett Bielema than Jim McElwain, because on the 0.01% chance that Brett Bielema is successful and he wins 9 games, that the meme of that, just the pure joy that would give me, is worth the 99% or whatever unsuccess rate compared to Jim McElwain.
So I have a question for you, because you would know more than me. So Brett Bielema left Wisconsin, and they got better after he left with Paul Christ as offense as head coach. Mm-hmm. And then he went to Arkansas, and they kind of tanked. Mm-hmm. How much would you credit him for Wisconsin versus Paul Christ? So it's Paul Christ as the architect. He was the offensive coordinator during those good days.
I mean, you can say Paul Christ is the architect. Barry Alvarez is the architect and has been for 30 years.
Yes. Barry Alvarez is the Wisconsin goat.
The main thing you do as a head coach for that program is get out of the way, right? Mm-hmm. Like, this formula for success is already so ingrained in the entire athletic department and Barry Alvarez. All you have to do is follow that and not do anything else. So I think Brett Bielema did that fine, especially with Paul Chryst off as a coordinator. I give him almost zero credit for any success that happened there. His boss started to hate him. He was complaining about the salaries he could offer assistant coaches. He was complaining about the admission standards. So he goes to Arkansas, where he gets those two things that he's complaining about, and he does worse, way worse. So,
yeah, and now Arkansas, they just fired Chad Moore after a season and a half because they are, like, really down in the dumps.
Yep.
That's a mess down there.
I mentioned him a little bit. Jim McElwain.
I can't. No one – CU fans should, like – when Tennessee was about to hire – what's his name?
Greg Schiano.
Yeah, Greg Schiano, the cop. Tennessee was about to hire Greg Schiano, and Tennessee fans literally, like, rioted, basically. And they threw such a fit that Tennessee backed out of that contract and hired whoever they hired.
Jeremy Pruitt. But there's other – I mean, there's other crazy drama in that search. But either way.
Yes. I was leaving out the the excuse. Tennessee fans really just didn't want him because of football reasons.
And whatever. The other part is the athletic director tried to hire Mike Leach, successfully did, and then got fired before he could turn that contract in. So,
I didn't actually know that.
Yep. And it's a wild time.
I forgot Mike Leach went to Mississippi State this offseason.
Yes, he did.
So, yeah, the Pac-12 lost Mel Tucker and Mike Leach.
Two of the brightest stars.
And Chris Peterson.
And Chris Peterson.
And is still at USC.
So let's see. We're on Jim McElwain. Let's do a few more names that have been mentioned. Justin Wilcox.
I guess.
Okay.
I guess.
Okay. And then let's see, one more name.
And he's from California, by the way.
He's California's current head coach.
Yeah.
One more name that a bunch of people are mentioning is getting some traction within the CU fan base. Steve Sarkisian.
I really don't want Steve Sarkisian. I don't know what his substance abuse issues are now, but I know it was a huge problem at Washington, and it was a huge problem USC ignored, and then it became a massive problem. And he kind of tanked USC during his tenure there. I don't know. How do you feel about Steve Sarkisian?
I think of those names, he's probably in my top three. Which I don't like him particularly. Yeah, I don't like him that much. So I don't think, you see, he's not picking from the top brass here.
I mean, what happened to all those exciting coordinators?
There has been no reports about any connections to Andy Avalos or Alex Grinch or Graham Harrell. There just hasn't been any. And frankly, that doesn't really mean anything this early on, too. Because like we said, Rick George and Lance Carl runs a tight ship, so it's possible that they have interviewed those or talked to those coaches.
I wouldn't mind taking their time with Shiv as the interim for a little while. Even if that takes us to next season, I wouldn't mind if it opens the door for other candidates.
The only way I can get behind Shiverini is if you don't give him an interim tag for a year. I think I can get behind Shiverini if you're saying, we're going to give you experienced coordinators. We're going to give you a bunch of money for assistants. Go hire recruiters.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I want. Lean on them. That's what I want.
I just don't think you can do that for a one-year trial run.
Oh, no, I wasn't. Okay. I guess I was thinking just this year would be an in-between year, but I think it's also a bad idea. Also, I'm watching basketball highlights, and is Caleb Swanigan back on Purdue? There's this big old
Yeah, there's a number there. 50 guy. Number 50? Yeah. He looks exactly like him. Matt Painter has his type.
God. With Isaac Haas and the other 7'2"
center. Matt Harms.
Matt Harms and Isaac Haas, yes. Sorry. Anyway, back to the CU coaching.
Well, give me your top three. Actually, sorry. Before you do that, I'll give you my top three.
Yeah.
Assuming it's not a complete moonshot, even though it is, my number one is obviously Justin Wilcox. If CU can poach that name from a current Pac-12 rival, quote unquote, that is a double win.
I mean, also for context, he's done a pretty good job at Cal, taking over from Sonny Dykes.
He wins 10 games next year if Chase Garbers doesn't get hurt, or last year, I should say.
Yeah. That's a good team.
His defense is good blueprint. Filthy. Yeah. It is gross. And you put him with the talent that CU's acquired on the defensive side of the ball next year, and he could probably get to a bowl.
Yeah. He also apparently has been complaining about the budget for Cal is on the fritz, and they're doing some financial cutbacks, and the football program is probably still going to get more cutbacks. So, I mean,
yeah,
they don't have much money there.
You know,
on athletics.
There have been mentions that CU. I shouldn't say there have been mentions. It was mentioned by Football Scoop, who has famously not liked CU since the McIntyre thing in 2016. It has been mentioned that CU would pay him less than Cal is currently paying him, and that is absolutely not true. The reason that Mel Tucker got paid less than Justin Wilcox is because CU could – why would CU give Mel Tucker more money than they needed to?
Right? Yeah, Tucker was the he had never been a head coach of a college football team. He was like, he was the cheap option, I guess, of who of the finalists they were looking at.
Well, that's not why they hired him. It just happened to be that way.
I know. And yeah, and it sucks that CU couldn't match Michigan State's offer. But here we
couldn't,
are.
Well, it sucks. And also, I kind of would have been upset if CU came back and said, look, we gave him $5.5 million a year. Mortgage our financial future. Either way, that's my number one. I don't think it'll happen. My number two... Oh, yikes. at this point, of the names that have been connected to this job...
Names that have been connected to the job, I have no number two. I have Wilcox and Shiverini, and I don't even know if Shiverini really counts.
Assuming that Bieniemy did in fact say no or has or yes. will plan on saying no.
It doesn't make sense why he would come to see you.
No, get the NFL head coaching job.
Yeah.
If that's true... Then I guess my number two is Sarkisian, I guess. He recruits well. He has a pretty good record as a head coach in the Pac-12. But, man, his issues are a little worrisome. He got passed over for the Mississippi State job. His teams were never that disciplined. They always kind of underperformed given their recruiting rankings. It's – I don't know. And then I guess the third name
– Did he go – 1-11 or winless with Jake Locker, or was that he took over them?
That was Ty Willingham. He took over after that.
Okay, good. Okay. just wanted to make sure.
You know, I guess my third name might be someone, and this is sad, this is my third name because I really don't like this. It's someone I've mentioned before, but not the list I just gave you. I guess Jim Mora.
No.
I guess.
Okay.
I mean, who else?
You have a recommendation that you've been dying to talk about is Ken Niumatalolo.
Ken Niumatalolo. I say see you both the trends.
Yeah, do you want to sell our listeners to
look? Ken Niumatalolo is experienced and he's a winner. And in fact, he wins with talent that no one else really wanted, and he wins big with them. Ken Niumatalolo's record as a head coach is 98-60. He is 98-60. At Navy.
Okay.
Yes, he has been at Navy since 2007. He has taken Navy to 11 bowls since 2007. If you want to look at Navy's bowl streak before that, it is disgusting. He is basically their Tab Boyle.
I really, really enjoy Navy football.
Plays a fun brand of option that actually throws the ball a decent amount. He obviously plays the option, which would be very fun.
And I'm sure he could branch out from the option. Like, you could have option elements into a modern offense.
I don't. No. Screw all that. Go very old offense. I do not care.
Okay. And then with, like, Richard Sherman as a mauler, so you don't have to cut block people with the Navy weight restriction.
You keep saying Richard Sherman, and I know you mean Will Sherman.
William Sherman. Sorry, Will Sherman.
Oh, yikes.
I've done that twice, though.
Yeah, and Colorado consistently produces two positions so far. The state of Colorado. Offensive linemen and running backs. Guess what you need for the offense?
Mm-hmm.
Offensive linemen and running backs.
Brendan Lewis is more of a scrambler than a runner, but like he could fit in that.
You get Niumatalolo. You get the defensive line coach for Oregon, which is Joe Salavea.
Okay, are you good?
I think I did it. I think that's right.
Okay.
He's a defensive coordinator. You just kill that poly pipeline. You bring back Chris Naioli as offensive line coach.
Oh, please. Please.
And we just get a bunch of maulers. We only recruit linemen, and we run over people.
Yeah, I'm sold on this. Yep. Oh, man. I hope we get to keep Antonio Alfano.
Oh, he already has said that he's staying.
Okay. Well, I mean, like, I hope he like, stays. Because a lot of people say they're staying.
And then well, but... I think he will.
Okay.
So, I really hope your top three is Wilcox and then Chev and Death is the third option?
I mean, Niumatalolo, if we could get him, I would want that. You've sold me on that. I've been wanting... I would really like Andy Avalos at Oregon.
Mm-hmm. Yes, like I think he'd be fun.
Yeah, he was a former assistant. He helped with the linebackers back in Dan Hawkins' early days, and like B.J. Beattie, the red-haired linebacker from our childhoods, really, really liked working with him. He told us on Twitter, "Love B.J. Beattie."
Nice. Okay.
World champion.
That's a nice scoop.
World champion B.J. Beattie, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was on the world championship squad with Dan Hawkins head coaching.
Nice. I didn't realize. Oh, he's still available. Pretty cheap.
Where is he now?
UC Davis.
Ah, God. Okay.
Anyways, that's your coaching search update.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's
precious little concrete information.
So, also, Jay Johnson left. He's the offensive coordinator. And then Chris Kapilovich left. Like, how long do we wait until we get replacements there?
Well, you need the head coach first.
Yeah, so that's what I figured.
If Shiv's your head coach, you don't have to wait too long. But if anyone else is your head coach, you want them hired this week probably, and then they can start getting that in before spring football.
And Kapilovich, by the way, was so essential for why? You love talking about him, right?
Well, because he was the best offensive line coach of the last 20 years at CU, probably. I mean, he immediately made the offensive line better. He recruited better players.
They're one of the better units in the Pac-12, and they were.
And they still have the talent and the coaching there. We just need to make sure that you don't completely backslide with who you replace him with. I doubt we can find someone as good, but just make sure you don't have Clayton Adams level.
Yeah, and then especially with his recruiting level too. Like he got like Carson Lee and Jake Ray. Those are pretty big gets for CU on the offensive.
Well, yeah, how much credit I give him for Carson Lee? Not much, but
yeah, because he's a Denver kid.
Yes, local kid, CU fan growing up, but Carson Lee still loved him. A lot of the players did. So you're gonna need to work hard to find someone who can have that similar connection with the players.
All right. Do you expect any other coach to leave? I'm thinking of one.
I would guess Travaris Tillman leaves. And all this depends on who's hired. If Shiv is retained, probably a little less. But if Steve Sarkisian comes in, he's going to want his own guys.
Yeah, and it's also kind of curious, too, at Michigan State. Like, Mel Tucker has this giant assistant coach budget, but really he's just giving the same guys pay raises. So it's a little bit strange to see.
Yeah, he has currently hired two CU coaches, retained two Michigan State coaches, and then hired a high school athletic director. So,
who's his defensive coordinator? Does he have one yet?
Yeah, it's Mike Tressel.
Okay, so Jim Tressel's kid.
Jim Tressel's nephew.
Nephew, sorry. So they're not going to take Tyson Summers back?
Well, they still might, just not as a defensive coordinator.
Which is probably a better role for him. But Am I allowed to say I kind of hope Summers leaves?
You're allowed to say that, sure. I don't know if I hope Summers leaves, but you sure can.
I wouldn't mind.
Yeah, I'd be fine with a fresh start at this point.
Yeah. Okay. Do you want to move on?
Yeah, let's move on.
Okay, so this past week, Colorado went to Oregon to play the Ducks. And
this is in basketball. Let's just make sure everyone knows. We're now moving to basketball.
Yes, we're now moving into basketball, which is the sport we should be talking about.
We really should.
Because this is literally like possibly CU's best regular season in however long.
Damn you, Mel Tucker.
Damn you, Mel Tucker. Benjamin Burrows is very upset that we have to not talk about basketball. He said this when the Mel Tucker rumors even started at first. Mm-hmm. So, Oregon game. Do you want to talk about that?
My whole thing starts and ends with the fact that we got to listen to Bill Walton and Mark Jackson emotionally and psychologically torture Dave Pasch for 2 hours. So that was nice.
Yeah, Bill Walton, I think he barked, he quacked, and was talking about grass and where the best grass is in the Pac-12. And that was in the first, 10 minutes of the game. But so the stakes of the road trip were incredible for CU. They obviously didn't get it because they split. They lost to Oregon. But had they won, they could have basically like sealed the Pac-12 title. They would have had a 2-game advantage on Oregon in the standings with 3 games to play. Mm-hmm. Five games to play. But, I mean, those are all pretty winnable. We'll talk about that. So, I mean, that would have been huge. That would have meant that CU could have gone 3-2 and guaranteed a share of the Pac-12 title. So it sucks that CU went on a 20-0 run and they lost. And it was kind of clear, though, that they made the 20-0 run, but they didn't take full control of the game. Like, Oregon kind of fought back before halftime. And CU still had to dig themselves out a little bit. So they only had a 9-point lead at half.
Yeah, then, you kind of knew the run was coming a little bit. Yeah. I should say Oregon's run was coming. That 20-0 run was great. But if the game isn't put away by the end of that, they're going to come back hard with something similar. And you just have to deal.
And, yeah, the last 15 minutes of the game was all Oregon. And it looked like... So CU kind of collapsed. People really criticized them at the end of the game. It just looked like nobody wanted to shoot. Like, Tyler Bay had a really bad game. Honestly, like, it may have been his worst of the season.
Yeah, he was timid. He was timid all game. I don't exactly know why.
He just gets like that sometime, I think. He kept losing the ball, too. The McKinley Wright was scoreless in the second half. He didn't even really try to take command. The only player who was like, give me the ball, I'm going to go get a bucket, was Deshaun Schwartz, and they didn't really feed him enough because he's not really a create-your-own-shot type of guy.
Mm-hmm. Evan Batty was a little stymied inside. I mean, he still was pure effort, but he's similar where it's just like he needs someone else to get him going. He can't really get himself going just by the nature of the way that centers are used in college basketball. And when the two guys that can get themselves going, Tyler Bay and McKinley Wright, aren't, this team struggles.
I mean, yeah, if you take any team's best two players and say they're going to score 4 points in the second half, and in like a critical road game at number 17 Oregon, like, yep. Who's going to win that? Even if you have a 9-point lead in the half, I'm just a little bit annoyed that like. That's the game. That's the half. They both disappeared. Where it could have been the biggest win in program history, arguably considering the stakes. Mm-hmm.
Well, and absolutely. I mean, it would have probably, like you said, at least clinched a share of the title. It would have given the 20-win season a little bit earlier. Would have kept them at 20-5 with a chance to go 21-5, which would be top 10 resume.
Yeah, and I mean, we would have been like number 11 or 12 in this last poll. Which would have been the highest CU's been, I think, possibly ever. At least since the 70s.
As long as when we're talking about sour grapes, I am also like lamenting the missed opportunity. But I think it's also important to realize like they are still really good and they're still, I think, exceeding expectations this year.
Buzz! Buzz!